Praise God. I want to just do something a little different. I know what I really want you to do. Can we do this? Can you all get closer, please? I just want to get you all like a little nearer tonight. Oh,
there we go.
Thanks, champ. You can stay right there, Daniel. You're welcome, buddy. Thank you. We've got communion tonight, so we want to move along fairly quickly. There's just some times that do you ever feel kind of limited to your flesh? You sometimes feel that your body gets in your way when the Spirit of God is beginning to move. And you feel like you want to just, sometimes I just don't feel big enough, you know. So I don't know what to do about this. Can we turn to our Bibles, Luke chapter 10? Yes, praise God. We've been speaking in the last month about getting connected. The first week I spoke about getting connected to your God. That's an easy thing. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's an easy thing. It's not a complicated thing. God is not hiding from you. God is not making your life difficult. The Bible says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I want you to understand that. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, okay? So if you think God is holding back from you, I'm sorry, you do greatly err. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I could say that all night and wouldn't get tired of it. It's the Father's good pleasure. Like Christmas and your birthday and Thanksgiving, all rolled into one, to give you the kingdom. Which of you, if your son was to ask for bread, would give him a stone? Which of you, if your child was to ask for fish, would give him a serpent? Which of you, if your child was to ask for an egg, would give a scorpion? How much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. Next month, we're going to be praying for people, for the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. So if you want to be one of those people, that's what we're going to be doing. Pat and I were in prison again last week. I don't know if anybody's said anything. Only four kids came to the meeting. And these four little skinny kids are all skinny. They look like a chopstick with the wood shaved off. These little kids, and they reminded me the last time I went in, I told them, I gave them all the scriptures and speaking in tongues, and that I was going to pray for them. I forgot all about it. I didn't want to do it. And then I just didn't want to do it. You ever do that thing in your life? You just don't want to do it. You said you'd do it, like, last time you're there, said, next time I come, I'll pray for you. And now I was there, and I didn't want to do it. And all the time, I didn't want to do it, didn't want to do it. And that little voice in your head said, I'll leave it, do it next time. So in the end, I got up, and I said, oh, let's do it. And those four kids opened their mouths after we prayed for them and began speaking in tongues. They didn't stop for 35 minutes. They didn't stop for 35 minutes. They were just like reeds swaying in the wind, and they were, I've never seen, I had an experience like it. Pat and I didn't know what to do with that, so we just left. It was awesome. Luke 10, 25 says this, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, what is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? Can we all say together, what is your reading of it? Okay, the reality is the Bible is of absolutely no use until you read it. And it's no use until you read it and then you determine what is it saying to you. The Bible is no better off than a brick. Or, binge your Americans, one of those Christmas fruitcakes. You know how you like to use them to keep the door ajar? Well, you might as well use your Bible for that. That's how much use it is until you read it and you determine what is your reading of it. So my question to you tonight as a congregation is, what is your reading of it? Do you know why I preach? Do you know why I preach? I'll tell you why. For 28 years, nobody's been able to stop me. That's the only reason. Nobody's been able to stop me. Because I'm convinced, I just want to share with you, can I just share with you tonight? This is on my spirit, I've got to do this. Do you know, I honestly believe, check this out, this must be an arrogant Englishman speaking to you tonight. Are you ready? Do you know, I honestly believe that I can help anybody in the world when I share the gospel with them. Do you know, I actually believe that. I actually believe that. I honestly believe that 6.5 billion people on this planet, if they listen to me preach a gospel and apply it to their life will improve. I actually believe that. Is that arrogant, or is that the confidence of what Jesus did when he rose from the dead and gave us the good news? And I want to share that with you. That's why I do what I do. And Paul said, I cannot but speak. He said, woe unto me if I do not preach a gospel. And Peter said, I must speak of the things that I've seen and heard. I have to. Do you get my drift? It's like being a Giants fan. Can you imagine that, Tony? We were all there. Who was there at the Super Bowl party this year? Downstairs, right? We got this 62-inch TV. We're sitting there. How many minutes was it? A minute, 27 seconds left when they caught that touchdown? And we all went, should we cheer or not? What do you think, guys? Do you want to cheer? Well, I don't know. I'm English, so we don't really do that. What about, I'm cheering on the inside. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't compute to me. The touchdown happened, and Pat Byrne leapt out of his seat. How the heck did that happen? If you don't know Pat Byrne, you are missing out in life. Did you ever think about that? When I came down, Pat was still coming down. I think he orbited the earth twice, was it? Now, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but the reason I preach is because I have to. Do you get my drift? What's your reading of it? And he answered and said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Remember we talked the second week about loving yourself. No good having a neighbor if you don't love yourself. About loving the whole family of God. And then he says, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28 says, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, left him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road on his way to a prayer meeting, Sunday morning on his way to church, when he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, was going to Bible study and came and looked. The guy was even rubbernecking and still didn't do anything. God, mate, I've never seen that before. That's really spoilt my evening, that is. Can you imagine that? Going down the road, you are a priest. You go down the road and you see a guy in the gutter go, wow, he's in bad shape. Wow, he needs a lot of help, that guy. Oh, poor guy, he's really got... That's what he did. Came and looked. Man, I wish I hadn't read that. That's... Okay, here we go. Somebody tell me where I was. 33. Came and looked and passed by on the other side. He crossed the street, looked, went back because he was chicken. Now we know why the chicken crossed the road. Now that was pretty good, Elaine. Now we know why the chicken crossed the road. Because he was too stinking, rotten, lazy to help. Didn't you know it was going to be one of those nights as soon as I put the pulpit down there and asked everyone to move? God, mate. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, I heard a preacher once, one of these Western preachers, one of these guys from down south, you know, with those country gospel. You ever hear that stuff? It's an oxymoron in my opinion, but that's my opinion. And he said, yeah, God, this man, he should have been going up to Jerusalem, not down to Jericho. He should have been going up when he was held up, beat up, laid up. But then, thank God, he was picked up, bound up, and paid up. I thought, that's a pretty good sermon. Seven ups. One of those nights, Tom. What happened? What was in the coffee? Okay, here we go. Yeah, even now, I didn't even plan. That was good. Now, a certain Samaritan, let me tell you about a Samaritan. Do you know where the Samaritans originated? If you read, I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 6, of course, everybody knows this. It was a note in my Bible. I've read it today, Bob. Don't laugh at me. The Samaritans originated in Babylon. Did you know that? It's an obscure little thing. It's written in the book of Kings. So, think about this. If ever there's a comparison between Jerusalem and what is the opposite to Jerusalem in the Bible, it would be Babylon. So here we have a story of Jesus is saying, you had a Levite and a Pharisee, Jewish people, Jewish ministers, Jewish preachers, Jewish pastors, passed by this guy who we surmise was Jewish because he was going from Jerusalem. He passed by, and then a Babylonian stepped in. I don't know about you. I don't want no Babylonian to get my job. Anybody else want that? I don't want that. It says, and he came and he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. And he went and bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever you spend when I come, I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Okay, we live in an interesting age. I'm speaking tonight on being connected with our community. Most of us, we're not connected to the community. Most of us, some of us that were raised in Brooklyn, someone turned the air off. I think it's probably, does anybody know how to do it? Thanks. Most of us who are raised in, you know, boomers, we know what it's like to have some kind of a community experience. But today, who lives in a community? Who knows the guy across the street, up the road, around the corner? Nobody is. In fact, we need people because of the internet and because of computers and because of our, you know, our different web pages and Facebooks and whatever else you guys are doing these days. You can be in community with people on the other side of the world and not in community with people in Kingston. In fact, a lot of people meet their spouses from another community because of the internet. Now, I'm not pro or for that, but it's okay. I met Paul the Apostle by mail. And Peter the Apostle that way. And John the Apostle that way. Think about it. But anyway, so today our community isn't the guy next door. Our community isn't necessarily that. But however, I want to say this, we need that. We were born to live in tribes. We were born to live helping one another. We know the Bible says, you know, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. If any two on earth agree that we were actually supposed to be people who are to help one another. How many of us are in the trouble we're in today because we didn't know who to turn to when we were having a problem? We didn't know who to turn to. We weren't close enough. Our family doesn't understand. Maybe from your family that was unsaved. So who is our neighbor? Because when they asked Jesus that same question, well, who is my neighbor? He told a story about two foreigners. He didn't tell a story about two Americans or two Englishmen or two Irishmen or two Italians helping each other or two Jews helping each other. He said two foreigners were helping each other. They are neighbors. So I want us to realize in this congregation that our neighbors aren't necessarily just people in Kingston, in the Hudson Valley, in Ulster County, in New York, or in the United States of America. I'm really thankful that yesterday one of our guys drove two commercial stoves from here all the way down to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Do you know how far that is? 250 miles one way. He was prepared. He took a day off work. I thought that was impressive. Took a day off work, took his wife, three kids, put him in his truck, pulled this 1,200 pounds of commercial stoves all the way down to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to deliver them there because they now are on the road. He didn't know why he was doing it or even who he was doing it for. He was asked to do us a favor, and he did it. But you should have seen the look on his face when I told him, don't you know where those stoves are going? He said, no, where? I said, Zambia. Those stoves are going to Livingston, Zambia. Those stoves are going to serve God and feed hundreds of people on the mission field and Africans and everybody else. Those, I said, in your part of the jigsaw puzzle. I said, praise God, you didn't even know it. I said, but I bet you feel good about it now, don't you? What a wonderful opportunity we have as people to be able to do things that affect the nations of the world. Thank God for that trip recently to Africa. I don't want to keep on and on about it, but the reality is that Roger and Jonah and Beth and their baby and Jonah's sister and Beth's sister all went down there to be a blessing to the people of Livingston. And it isn't out of anybody's reach. They are our neighbors. They are our neighbors. Now, by the same token, today when I came here, Steve and I wanted to watch Manchester United play Chelsea, very important game, as you all know. And so then I forgot that there was a defensive driving course going on in our church. Pardee Insurance puts it on, and there were 32 people using our church to improve their driving skills. I'm so glad we can help our neighbors that way. I am really glad we can do that. It makes me very happy to see this building used that way, to see this building used for people taking guitar lessons or to see all you guys here, Gary and Charlie and everybody else who's schlepping furniture and moving things around to see all this going on. It is because we as a community, we will be known in this city as a church that will not walk on the other side of the road. And it's a very important thing. We are so determined to do this. The brothers and sisters were here, big brothers and big sisters. Who was at the training the other week here on, what happened? When was that, Chris? It was recently. Bob, when was it? I couldn't go. What was it? 2 weeks ago. That the woman came here to teach our people how to be big brothers and big sisters so that we can get those youngsters under our wing and help make a difference in a young person's life. Couple of weeks from now, we're going to have young Karen here. She's going to be telling us all about how we can raise money in baby bottles, hallelujah, for the pregnancy center. Now, it's wonderful that so many things we can do, and yet none of it's rocket science. None of it is the biggest fear in your life, which is preaching. And so I do that. If you don't want to turn, okay, trust me, I'm not tired of it yet. But the reality is that each and every one of us can make a huge difference. Wasn't it you that introduced me to that one-on-one website? Wasn't it you, Daniel, a couple of years ago? Wasn't it you? I thought it was. We can make such a difference. You know what the people in this world say? They say this expression, think globally, act locally. How true it is. Come on, kids, who's going to Guatemala? You're going to come back with some great testimonies, mate. Are you ready? Are you excited? They're going to make a difference in Guatemala, and it's awesome. And thank God for everybody who's making a way to help them financially. This is really what a community is, but I want to say we've only just begun. Sounds like a cue. We've only just begun. She sang so nice, Karen. I'm sorry I destroyed that song. Jesus said, go do likewise. Do you know what's crippled the church over the centuries? Is when us preachers get up and say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you all go. And immediately you say that, everybody freezes. But the reality is, you've heard me talk about Yachin and Boaz. High priests and business people. We need both. We need people who can share the gospel and people who can do the business, who can finance the business. And do you know what? I wish a few more of you would get a bit richer. Don't laugh at me. You need to listen when I'm talking to you. I wish a bunch of you just get stinking rotten rich. Break your poverty mentality. Break what you think is limiting you. Just get a whole bunch of money and keep tithing. Yeah. How many of you business guys, how many of you guys who are in the, get your feet out of my way. Sit up when I'm talking. Thank you. If you're listening under the tape, welcome to the Vineyard. If you just purchased a CD, you may have just wasted $3. But it was Jeremy. It doesn't count. He doesn't count. This is Jeremy. He doesn't count. He's always under my feet. But he always the first one to hug me, right, champ? He's a good man. And I'm going to make sure you become a good man. Are you listening to me? Do you see my finger in your face? You are going to become a good member of this community. And if you argue with me, I will turn you upside down. I will rattle your cage so hard. And your mother will laugh, so don't worry. Don't run that way. Your mother will say, go for it, Vaughn. He needs it. He's agreeing with me. I love that kid, but he gets under my feet, man. Matthew 23, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, and he's looking over Jerusalem. And do you remember what he said? Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, you who killed everybody that was ever sent to you, how I long to gather you. As a hen gathers her chicks. He said, but you would not. And then he said, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, who is that he? Us. We are that he. We are that he of Kingston that this city is actually, without them realizing it, saying, I want the blessing of God. I need the blessing of God. If any of you, do you know what I'd encourage some of you guys to do? Next time we have a funeral here, come along. Don't matter whether you know the person or not. Just come along and see the pain of people. There is so much pain in our community. There's pain behind people who are rich. There's pain behind doors of people who are poor. There is pain behind all doors. And we can do something about it as long as we make a decision not to be walking on the other side of the road. It's not that hard. I want to read a few scriptures here. And I want you to hear this because of the context of it. Because we as a people, now I'm going to say this. I'm the chiefest sinner, right? Not pointing no fingers at you. I'm pointing them all at me. Not pointing one at you. I've been preaching now full time since what, 1981. 1981, right? It's a long time now. 27 years. In fact, we started our own ministry in 1982, right? So that's now... My math's doing great. 26 years now, we've been full-time in the ministry, preaching the gospel, and that's what I did for a living, if you like. And in all that time, I've watched, wherever I am in the world, what the community says, generally speaking, help me here, generally speaking, they don't have too much of a problem with Jesus. They don't think he's the only way. The Muslims don't have a problem with Jesus. Most of the Jews don't have a problem with Jesus. Do you know they have a problem with? The church. Are you with me here? They have a problem with the church. And what is the number one problem they have with the church? Let me read it to you here. I'm reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, beginning verse 8. It says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. This is a beautiful verse for the righteous, of which we are. Listen to this, verse 9. The hypocrite, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor. Did you hear that? The hypocrite, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor. Now, what is the number one thing you've ever heard about why people don't go to church? Bunch of hypocrites. Would you agree? Now, here we have a situation. The Bible says the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, go do likewise. So you can see here that the dilemma is whatever we've been doing and however we've approached this, we have caused hypocrisy. We've caused hypocrisy, and I, for one, want to repent of that. I, for one, want to publicly say, I pray I will never play the hypocrite again. Do we know what the word hypocrite means? It means to act, doesn't it? Pretty much. It means to act. It means to say one thing, live another, to act. And so what I want us to see now is I'm reading the same text, okay? Let me read it again. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighborhood. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his community. Are we okay? How many times have we said, the trouble with this community is, I'll tell you what the trouble with this community is, the hypocrisy of the church. They haven't destroyed it. I have. Can you see that? Am I getting this across? My wife's knitting her eyebrows. You get that, love? You're with me, okay. Let me say it again. If Jesus has commissioned us to love our neighbor as ourselves, the word says that hypocrisy has destroyed our neighbors, has destroyed our community, has destroyed them. So therefore, I need to be careful that I'm the one that repents of that and now does something about it. Make a difference in our community. Okay, let me read it again. The hypocrite with his mouth. Destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Now, I want you to hear the good part. Are you with me? So, any of you else who want to repent of hypocrisy, go for your life. But listen to the next verse. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So therefore, the future of Kingston is 100% in the hands of the righteous. The future of our nation is 100% in the hands of the righteous, according to how we go about dealing with the righteousness that Jesus gave us through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Can I quickly tell you the story? Does anybody know the story of Obed-Edom? The house of Obed-Edom. What happened is the ark was stolen by the Philistines. And then, I won't tell you what happened. If anybody remembers, it's funny. They all got hemorrhoids. There, I told you. I told you it was funny. They all got hemorrhoids. They said, send the ark back. So they put it on a cart and sent it up. And as it was coming up the road, long story short, they couldn't bring it up. The Hebrews couldn't do that. So they took the ark off and they put it in the home of Obed-Edom. And it was there for 3 months. And while it was in his house, he got blessed. Now, the reason I'm saying this, who here believes they're born again? Quickly raise your hands. Okay, who here believes they're a child of God through faith in Jesus? Quickly, raise your hands. Okay, who here believes they're righteous? Pretty good, not bad, wonderful. Well, I believe I'm righteous because of Jesus. It's a gift, therefore you don't have to be very smart to get it. I honestly believe that because I'm somewhere, that place is better off. Do any of you believe that? I told you that story about that girl who was looking for a job. She used to live with Wendy and I. And she said, oh, pray for me to get a job. I said, listen, you need to realize that whatever job you get, that company is doing better because you are employed by them. They need you more than you need them. Obed-Edom. So I've always had that feeling. So I went to the bank this week and I pulled up in front. I thought, nice, that's what I like. Nobody outside the bank. In I go. Walk in, had a couple of things to do, but I knew as soon as I was going to walk in, something would change. Sure enough, I turn around, there's a big line behind me. Now, you might think I'm crazy. I don't. I think that wherever I am, something will be better. Now, I actually believe it about you too. But some of you may not believe it about yourself. Because by the blessing of the righteous, the city rejoices. By the blessing of the righteous, the city is exalted. I like that. Especially the verse after it says, because of hypocrisy in your mouth, it destroys the neighborhood. But by the blessing of the righteous, so therefore, I mean, to me it's so simple. All we got to do is be a blessing. Wherever we go, be a blessing. Wherever we go, just allow your life, your words, you know, always a nice, a kind, a hold the door, a thank you, a God bless you. Don't do the rope, have a nice day. I remember the first time we came to the stage, remember that one? We go to a checkout, get a cheese and bologna for our sandwiches, and they'd say, have a nice day. We go, thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah, we will. Yeah, that was nice of you to ask. Thanks very much. We didn't know they didn't mean it. We didn't know it was just a habit. We thought they were being nice. So, you know, I've noticed when people ask me, what's up? You know, I actually, what? These Ortmans. I actually don't answer them. I don't answer them. How are you today? Why are you asking? You don't care. Or if I do, I'd say, I'm having a lousy day, thanks. How about you? And now they don't know what to do. Oh, God. God, he answered me. Now what? I mean, what? Do we ever engage our brains before we engage our tongue? Perhaps I shouldn't have said that tonight. Okay, I've got to wrap this up because I want us to take communion together. How easy is it to hand out one of these? How easy is it to hand out one of these? How easy is it to hand out just a card? Just, if you need anything, our church will help you. Not come to this church because you need your rotten life to, you need to repent, you rot gut. You know, that's not the message that this church is getting across. The message is, we believe that you'll be blessed. And we want you to be blessed. And I believe any of you can do that. Because I believe you're blessed. And I believe that my life is better because you're part of this congregation. I believe our lives are better because we got each other. And surely we need to spread that. We really do. It's so easy to hand these things out, and I just do. Okay, I'm going to try and wrap this up because I want John to come up and help us with the communion. What happened to my computer? Don't die on me now. Okay, so let's just leave this thought then like this. We're beginning to get known. Those of you that know that our food ministry, Find the Need, Fill a Need, you know, we were going to Panera Bread and picking up the food every Friday night, right? The leftovers. You see, we were doing the gleaning. You understand what I'm saying? We do the gleaning first, the Ruth thing. Pick up the gleaning. And then ShopRite opened up. They said, well, you can come and get our stale bread. And oh, what, Pat's there. Well, and whoever he sends, you guys that go up and get it. And we begin to gather the bread. And now they are so impressed with the way that we do it. How can you get impressed about that? Do you know what they did the other week? You know, last week, there he is now. Do you know what happened? Hey, Pat, how you doing? Talking about you, sit down and shut up. Talking about you, not to you. And and Pat goes in the other day to get the bread, and they go, oh, we forgot you were coming. We threw it all away. Don't matter. And they went and gave him some fresh stuff because they wouldn't let him leave without giving him something. Now, something is beginning to happen. You see what, you get my drift? Now, we find out they start going to give us the dented cans. You know, most people would be highly offended by that. I'm thinking, praise God, we'll glean the cans now, you know. And then one day, you're all going to smile at this one. One day, The banks will give us some samples. And the business will start giving us samples. And Wally World and everybody else will start giving us. You know why? They'll say, that church knows how to bless. And they'll get behind us because we are the people that believe with everything that's in us that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. And that the blessing of the righteous, the city is exalted. And by the blessing of the righteous, the city rejoices. I'm tired of us thinking they should do something for us. We should be doing something for them. Habitat for Humanity. Everything. It's all happening, and I'm just talking about a few little bits and pieces. But all I want to say, I'm going to close now, if John could come up, please, and just continue to realize, find a way to be a blessing. A smile, a handshake. Carrie, what's that, Pat? A check. Amen. I heard that there was a, or didn't you say somebody was clearing out one of those, what do you call those, storage units? They're downsizing, so they're keeping half the stuff, giving the other half to us. See? See, now who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor, exactly. Our neighbor is whoever we can start getting connected with. And all we've got to, that's the point. It's so easy. You don't have to preach. Just bless. Just bless. That's all you have to do. Elaine, quickly stand up and tell them about that time we were in the restaurant. Me and you and your husband. Come on, quick. You got 1 minute. You take any more than that, I'll shut you down. Stand up here. They can't see you. What? Oh, you got your heels on too.
We were out to lunch with Fawn and Wendy one time. And
we were out to lunch.
And the waitress came up and just striking up a conversation. It was very, very natural. And she looked so lonely. She looked like she needed something. And yet, and I'm thinking to myself, how would you say, you look like you need something. You look desperate. You look lonely. How can you say that to someone? And I've always struggled with how do you approach somebody about what you can see that they need. But Vaughn was sitting there and he said, you know, our church has a really great outreach and we help the community. We look to help the community. They don't even need to go to our church. But if you know anybody that needs anything, please, could you give them our card? And her face just lit up, and he gave her like two or three cards, and it just changed the rest of the way, the rest of our encounter with her. Even there was somebody, just knowing that there was somebody out there that cared, and there was truly no strings attached, that they could come and get what they needed.
Yeah, you could do that, couldn't you? Could you do that? Be honest, can you do that to a waitress? Can you do that to somebody you work with? Say, listen, I don't need nothing from you. Freely we receive, freely we give. But if you need anything, if we can help, call that number. It's that simple. That's the way we can connect with our community. I promise you, a few years from now, this church will be known all up and down this valley. Not because we are the greatest preachers or the greatest musicians. But or the funniest church. But because we will get the word out that we are going to be the people of compassion who will not walk on the other side of the road.